Well, what is something you have received recently? What is something you've received recently? You know, the Christmas season just behind us, it might be easy to think of something like a Christmas gift or a Christmas card, or maybe a Christmas gift card. Maybe a nice festive meal. It may be evident, though, that when you receive something from someone, whether a gift or a card or a gift card or a festive meal of some sort, that you're receiving more than just the gift or the greeting. You are in some way receiving the person's offer of friendship or appreciation towards you, maybe even their love towards you. It's a way of perhaps showing their love and care and concern for you. Put differently, in some way you are receiving that person. Not the entirety of that person, of course, but you're receiving a connection with that person. They're trying to make some sort of connection with you so often when they do these kinds of things. Well, this morning as we continue our series in the Gospel of Matthew, we come to the final portion of chapter 10. And Jesus talks about receiving much more than a gift, a greeting, or a meal. He talks about people receiving him. And we've seen in the last few weeks that some people will receive Jesus and some people will reject Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 10, we've seen that Jesus sends his followers out. He sends the 12 out. He gives them instructions. He warns them about persecution. He sends them out to bring God's good news of the kingdom to his people. And Jesus has been reminding his followers that as they participate in doing ministry like Jesus, that some people will receive them and some people will reject them. What Jesus wants them and you and me to know today is to realize that receiving the followers of Jesus directly relates to receiving Jesus himself. Receiving the followers of Jesus directly relates to receiving Jesus himself. How so? In what way? We'll talk about that. And why is this so significant for people who do ministry? And why is it so significant for people who are recipients of ministry in some way? Let's take a look at this short passage at the end of Matthew 10, 42 through 44. Before we do, let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to study your word today. We pray that you would give us understanding to learn what your word instructs us here, but not just for our information purposes, but for our transformation. God, we thank you that you transform lives by the power of your Spirit, love, grace, and truth. And we ask that you would do that, that you would continue that process in our lives this very day. And we pray that this passage would be helpful in that regard. Help us to respond to what we hear here. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 10, 40 through 42. Jesus speaking. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. The context we've seen so far in chapter 10 is Jesus sending out the 12. They're participants in his ministry. They're doing ministry like Jesus has been doing it. We saw at the end of chapter 9 that he says, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for his harvest field. And then right away, at the beginning of chapter 10, he sends the 12 out to actually become laborers in this harvest field that God has prepared. And much of the chapter, Jesus gave instructions, telling his followers, don't take this along with you. Rely on the provision that I will provide through the people and the places where you will minister. He warns them of the persecution that will be something that they can expect. And in a sense, he's preparing them for that. And he talks to them, as we saw last week, about some things like even their priorities, saying that God must be first. He must be their primary priority, even before their own family members, and yes, even before their own lives. And we made the connection last week with persecution with that if something else, a family member or your own life takes precedence in priority, more than Jesus, then you're going to cave in at persecution. Because you'll care more about what your family thinks, or you'll care more about your own well-being, and you'll cave in persecution pretty quickly. And so Christ must come first in our lives. And then now in verse 40, Jesus articulates here that they're set out to do ministry, and as they do, some people will receive them. In the context of persecution, now we have something positive here. People will receive them. There will be some. Recall earlier in verses 11 through 13 of chapter 10, when they were told not to take much at all with them, but to rely on the hospitality of the people and the places where they go, in verses 11 through 13, Jesus mentioned finding out who is worthy in whatever town or village they enter, and that whatever house was worthy, that they were to stay there and let their peace be upon it. Now, I clarified last week, is that word worthy, I'm putting it in quotes because I'm going to explain what it means again. I clarified last week that in verses 37 through 39, where the term worthy is used, it brings out the idea not of someone worthy in the sense of earning it or deserving it or accomplishing it, but rather worthy in the sense of someone who is a recipient of Jesus, someone who is receptive to Jesus. So in this context, someone worthy is someone who's received Jesus or has received the disciples, and in turn receiving the disciples, Jesus is making the connection that there's a direct relationship to receiving him because he's sending out the disciples. So here in verse 40, Jesus is making a connection that those who receive his sent ones, his disciples, his apostles who are sent out to do ministry in his name, are those who also will receive him. He adds that those who receive Jesus are those who also are receiving the one who sent him, namely God the Father. Receiving then means more than showing hospitality. It can include hospitality, yes, but Jesus has much more in mind here than merely hospitality. When Jesus says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, God the Father, he's talking about a reception of a relationship with Jesus himself, with himself. He's saying, this receiving my followers means receiving me, Jesus is saying, and receiving me means receiving my Father who sent me. So, he's not saying merely showing hospitality in and of itself to a follower of Jesus makes that person who showed hospitality to a follower of Jesus somehow a Christian. What he is saying is that the kind of reception that is demonstrated in hospitality to those who are sent by Jesus is something that will so often lead to receiving the message that the followers of Jesus bring. The issue is being receptive then to the kingdom ministry of Jesus. To his followers, the 12, are as they're coming to people, as they're sent out by Jesus to minister to people in word, in power, as Jesus did in Matthew 5 through 9. We saw 5 through 7, this extensive section in teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. In chapters 8 and 9, this extensive section of miracles and demonstrations of power and healing. And now the disciples are being sent out to do kingdom ministry in the same kinds of ways, paralleling Matthew 4, 23 through 25, and Matthew 9, 35 through 38, these summary statements of Jesus and his ministry. And so as they are going out and doing ministry like Jesus, they're being sent out in his power and authority, the authority that he gave them to do ministry in his name. The reception of the sent ones directly relates to the reception that those people receiving the ministry would have towards Jesus himself. In verse 41, Jesus continues expanding upon this concept by mentioning receiving a prophet and receiving a righteous person. There's a lot of overlap here in what's mentioned, but a connection with the followers of Jesus and prophets has already been made in the Sermon on the Mount. You might remember on the tail end of the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of things falsely about you because of me, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus has already made some connection with his disciples and followers that equivocates what the prophets experienced. And really, by bringing up prophets here, he's affirming that as a prophet was received or rejected, receiving a prophet's reward would result if a prophet was received. What does this mean? Well, those who are sent out by Jesus now are essentially like prophets, in the sense that they're being mouthpieces for the word that God is revealing. Now, the disciples here are functioning, in a sense, in a prophetic-type role in bringing the message of the gospel to people. So those receiving a prophet receive a prophet's reward in terms of responding to what God has to say to them through the prophet. And so responding to the sent messengers bringing the kingdom message leads to the kind of reward of receiving whatever that message is from God. Whatever he would say through his mouthpieces. And the mouthpieces were prophets that they were used to and familiar with in the Old Testament. And the disciples are functioning in a prophetic-like role, if you will, being mouthpieces for God, carrying on the ministry of Jesus, participating in the ministry of Jesus, speaking forth the truths about God and his word. So, verse 41 then mentions the one who receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. What does this mean? The righteous in the Old Testament is a general term for those who are followers of God and followers of his law. And righteous people in the Old Testament are often contrasted with those who are wicked. And that parallels in the New Testament as well. So here in verse 41, pairing righteous person with prophets, a reference seems to similarly being made to receiving the message that a righteous person brings. And even that a righteous person is demonstrating by living righteously. Because someone who's living righteously is modeling living consistent with the standards of God's law. They're living consistently with the standards of God's will. And that is somewhat declarative in and of itself. It's not the gospel itself, but it demonstrates consistency with lining up with God's will. And so receiving what a righteous person teaches or says, and even, you know, kind of observing a righteous person and wanting one's life to line up like that can lead to an interest, a receptivity, if you will, to wanting what that person has. And such a reward that a person will receive in responding to the words and example of a righteous person in turn points them to following God and receiving the rewards of doing so from God. So, both a righteous person and a prophet here function as sent ones by God. They function as messengers. They function as missionaries to a broken world with a message from God that leads to a reward if responded to by receiving the ministry that the sent ones, the 12, the prophets, the righteous ones bring. And there's some overlap in these words. What is the reward? That leads us to the question, what is the reward? Well, let's understand the context here. It seems best to understand reward, this word for reward, in light of the near context. And that near context points towards the reward ultimately being righteousness and eternal life. Look back at verse 39. What was at stake in verse 39? The last verse that we concluded with last week. What was at stake in verse 39? It's ultimately life. What is at stake then in verse 40 is receiving Jesus and receiving God the Father, ultimately. Furthermore, if we fast forward in Matthew's gospel all the way to Matthew 25, we'll get there in about a year, is this parable of the sheep and the goats. And in the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25, clothing, feeding, and giving drink to the least of these, which is very similar to the term little ones, directly relates to doing or not doing it to Jesus himself. And what ends up being at stake in that parable is either eternal life or eternal punishment. So the reward in mind in our context in the context of Matthew's gospel, in the context of our passage this morning, points ultimately to a reference to a reward of righteousness and eternal life. So receiving the ones who are sent results in also receiving the reward. Because in receiving the ones sent, they are receiving the message the ones were sent to bring. And in receiving the message the ones were sent to bring, they're receiving Christ, they're receiving God the Father. Do you see it? So it's not just show hospitality and a person becomes a Christian. No, that would be works righteousness. So it's the message that they are bringing ultimately. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10 tells us. So this is true whether the sent ones are the 12 mentioned in verse 40, or whether they are the prophets and the righteous persons mentioned in verse 41, or whether or not they are a category mentioned in verse 42, another descriptive category titled little ones. Who are the little ones? What does this mean? It says in verse 42 that whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, Jesus says, he will by no means lose his reward. What does this mean? Well, the little ones here are not infants, they're not little children, and they're definitely not baby Yoda. Some of you get that, some of you don't. There's this show called The Mandalorian, it's kind of fun. Our family's been watching it lately, so these kinds of things pop in my head. Rather, the little ones here refers to anyone who is a disciple, anyone. He says, he basically says little ones here because he is a disciple. So he spells it out that the little ones are a disciple, a follower of Jesus in general. Carson states in his commentary on Matthew that we have a descending order of prominence in this passage from the 12 to prophets to righteous people to disciples, followers of Jesus more generally. So he's talking about, you know, key leaders in the early church to prophets to righteous people to little ones. Carson states, but the classes mentioned are not mutually exclusive, meaning there's overlap among them. Since little ones surely include apostles, prophets, righteous men, they are all little ones because they are targets of the world's enmity. In other words, this is just a term in general for followers of Jesus. So little ones are disciples. Receiving them by even giving them a cup of cold water because he is a disciple is a receptivity that points towards receiving the ministry of Jesus in such a way that they will be rewarded for receiving. That reward, again, is a reward of righteousness and life. So let's clarify. Does giving a cup of cold water to a disciple, a little one, lead to life then? Yes and no. No, in the sense that just giving water, a cup of water, to a Christian doesn't make someone a Christian. That would be works-based righteousness. It's not saying that. But yes, in the sense that giving a cup of cold water to a disciple because he is a disciple, especially in a context here of them being sent out doing ministry, so often leads to receiving the message and the ministry the disciple brings. And receiving the message and the ministry the disciple brings leads to receiving the one that the message points to, namely Jesus himself, and in turn that relates to receiving God himself, God the Father. And that points to the ultimate resulting reward, eternal life and righteousness. This brings us to the primary point of this passage then. If you are a follower of Jesus doing gospel ministry, the receptivity that someone has to you directly relates to the receptivity someone has to Jesus. That's what Jesus seems to be saying here. Let's talk about five takeaways from this passage. First and foremost, this passage calls the reader to consider, have you received Jesus? Have you been receptive to the message of the gospel that Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead? Because you must receive that to be right with God. That is the sole solution for our sin problem. And to receive this reward of eternal life, one has to have received Jesus. Jesus himself. And so something to think about would be, okay, if I've been receptive to people who have brought that message to me, has God been sending people my way? And this message has been, you know, sent loud and clear to me. Have I received that or rejected it? What is at stake is an ultimate reward of life or separation from God. And look, this is good news that God sends through his people. It's good news of love and forgiveness and his presence with us. Second, if you have received Jesus, a takeaway for us is that you represent Jesus. Think about this. If you represent Jesus like a business person from a company goes and meets with business people from another company to talk some type of business deal, those people sent from that company are representatives of that company. They're mouthpieces, if you will, for that company. They're representing. Or we talk about ambassadors from one nation to another. And Scripture even uses that illustration that we are ambassadors for Christ. So you represent Jesus. If you have received Jesus Christ, whether you realize it or not, you are constantly, continually representing Jesus, either for good or for bad. Pray that it be for good, that you represent the one you claim to know and love because of what he has done for you and first loving you. Do you show the watching world the Jesus that they need to receive? Do people look at your life and go, I want what that person has? Realize what is at stake. The resulting reward that God gives. Do you show people Jesus or something drastically different? You represent Jesus, so may it be accurate representation of who Jesus is. Third, if you have received Jesus, you are sent. You are sent to do gospel ministry. You're like, oh, I thought that was only for missionaries. No. You're a missionary. We're all missionaries. You're all ambassadors. You're all representatives of him to the watching world. Your purpose is to function as God's mouthpiece, as an ambassador for him, to share this good news of what God has done for you. You have a wonderful testimony. Some people tell me, oh, I don't, you know, I just kind of grew up in a Christian home. I don't have this like really cool testimony, this radical conversion when I was 25. I used to rob and steal and do drugs, and now, I don't have much of a testimony. People don't really want to hear. No, there's plenty of people that would love to hear your story. There's plenty of people that can relate to that story. And it's great if you have one of these more radical testimonies. That's great. That's a great story too. God will use it. But you have a testimony. And so you're sent to do gospel ministry, and one of the most powerful things you can do is to share your story with people. And after first asking them what their story is, tell me about you, tell me about your life, tell me about yourself. The world's in need of that. The world's in need of people that will listen first. Not just kind of grab somebody and just start talking at them, but listening first, asking questions, interacting, loving. And so often they'll reciprocate. And you can tell them what you're most passionate about. You can tell them what you ultimately love and live for. Verse 39, whoever loves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will receive it. So let us be about understanding that we are sent ones with good news that Christ died for sin and rose again from the dead. Fourth, you may or may not be received as you do gospel ministry. We've seen this repeatedly so far in Matthew. But we've really seen it in Matthew 10. And Eric covered it thoroughly a couple weeks ago. There's going to be people that will reject. You can expect it. Be prepared for it. But the good news is there'll be people that will receive too. So you may receive. Some will receive. Some will reject. Be prepared. But keep persevering. It won't be easy. There may be persecution. There may be hardship. There may be rejection that maybe even comes from within your own family, but keep representing Jesus, loving people. And remember what we said last week, let the offense be the gospel, not you. Let it be Christ, not you, because you are being rude or offensive. Let your grace be seasoned as salt, if it were, so you will know how to respond to each person, Colossians 4 says. Pray that God may open a door for his word as you do this. And five, takeaway number five, our final takeaway. This is one's kind of a longer one. If you are received while doing gospel ministry, realize the person or persons, plural, will likely be receptive to Jesus as well. And as a result, will be rewarded. Doesn't guarantee it, but Jesus is making a direct connection here. If you are received while doing gospel ministry, realize the person or persons will likely be receptive to Jesus as well, and as a result will be rewarded. You know, when I was a college student, I had a random phone call asking for my roommate. Actually, the guy was asking for my roommate. And my roommate moved out. I didn't tell him why, because I snore like a grizzly bear. But I really do. I snored so bad my roommate had to move out. And I said, well, can I come talk to you then? I'm a college campus minister. My name's Jeff, and I'm talking to students about their thoughts about God. Guess what I did right away? Yeah, when can we meet? Not because I was really committed to Christ at that point. Not because I was regularly going to church. Not because I grew up in a Christian... I didn't grow up going to church. God had been stirring my heart and preparing my heart that I was eager to talk to this guy. In fact, when he showed up and I welcomed him to my dorm, when he showed up in my dorm room, I talked for like 15 minutes. And I told him about it. I used to do Big Brothers, and Big Brothers was this thing where he did community service, and I had this little brother in high school that wasn't really my brother, but I was this kid that I would take out and take him roller skating or take him and go get lunch and talk life. And so I've done all these good things. You're a religious person, so I had to go on 15, 20 minutes impressing this guy about how I was a good guy. And he was finally crying, going, okay, great, that's nice, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I was like, yeah, you're right. All have sinned and fall, yeah, that's me. And he said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. He died on the cross, and he kind of walked me through the gospel, and guess what? That day, I received Christ into my life. And I think because God had been working in my life, preparing me. Like, as I look back on it, I really have no other explanation that God had purposed that at that point in my life. And perhaps he had purposed it, I believe, theologically, he had purposed it long before that. So, but God was stirring in my heart so that I was receptive to the messenger, which in turn led to being receptive to the message. You see? And so, as a result, my life has been eternally impacted. And so, as you represent Jesus to the watching world, as you are sent out to share his love and forgiveness, some will receive you. And keep note, realize that when they receive you, when they're receptive to you, they just may also be very, very receptive to Jesus. And if they are receptive to him, he has the power to save. And they'll be rewarded. What an incredible gift that would be. What an incredible gift that person would receive if it was the gift of God through Jesus Christ that was given to them because God sent you out to give it to them through you by pointing them to Christ, the one alone who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one alone who can save. The receptivity someone has to you directly relates to the receptivity someone has to Jesus. Have you received Jesus? You represent Jesus. You are sent to do gospel ministry. You may or may not be received as you do gospel ministry. And if you are received while doing gospel ministry, realize the person or persons will likely be receptive to Jesus as well. And as a result, will be rewarded. What a reward. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for this incredible gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the incredible gift of eternal life. Thank you for the incredible gift of the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the privilege to be participants in your ministry, to be sent out by you, not with bad news, but with good news that people so desperately need. God, our world's a dark place, and may the light of your love come to them in our city and beyond. Open a door for your word, we pray, and let us speak forth the mystery of Christ in the way we ought to speak it. In Jesus' name we pray.